Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour already of this Monday, January 4th, 2016 edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. The show is just flying by. I want to give a special thanks to American Survival Wholesale. They are our partners and our go-to for storable food. And I have a story to tell you.
Go ahead.
So I went in my basement. Actually, my wife went in the basement today. And we were putting canned food down there where I keep storable foods. Now, you know, they have the storable foods in the containers, and then they have them in the bags.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got mice in our house.
You do?
In our basement, apparently. We found out today.
You sure? Or it could have been your wife.
Well, they ate through the bags and left their droppings in the bags.
Okay.
Didn't get to the cans, thankfully. But
well, that's why you need
the
buckets. You need the buckets.
Yeah, that was a rude awakening.
Okay. But American Survival Wholesale, look, anyone can be a prepper. Anyone can prepare. And Rhonda, by the way, of Hagman & Hagman, Rhonda's got some, wow, talk about preppers. I mean, if you can live in a small location, you can, anyone can prepare. And we need to prepare for what's coming, folks. We do. American Survival Wholesale is our go-to location. And Joe made a good point. What we do, what we recommend is storing the food in 5-gallon buckets with the lids that screw, okay? So that turn, and you can open them up. And that's the way to do it. But the taste of the food is beyond anything that you can't even tell you're eating long-term storable food. Thrive product, the Thrive brand is great. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, and load up, because supply disruptions are coming. The monetary collapse is coming, orchestrated. It's already here. All the signs are pointing to the need to be prepared. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Go ahead and pick up where you left off.
We were talking about from The Economist to Zbigniew Brzezinski's book on totalitarian it's one of the only books I have to look at the title every time I want to mention it. Totalitarian dictatorship and autocracy. And back to The Economist magazine, where they have a few different approaches to this mobile electronic health record program or...
Let's remind everyone, this is only our assessment.
No, this is a law.
Okay, go ahead.
And, I mean, it depends on how much you want to understand about this, because as the article here says, hidden in hundreds of pages of, you know, bureaucratic nonsense is the requirements and the definitions. But basically, this is what the government has been pushing towards. And what caught me, and I've been reading this stuff for years and going through the PDFs and their publications for a long time now, thousands of reports I've read, and to implement this kind of system where you will be hooked up to a piece of technology that will be able to transmit and receive information to the point where it can, in some cases, depending on what's used to connect to you, can send rewards to your brain that mimic euphoria.
That's right.
Or pain to your body, which mimic a broken bone or something wrong.
It's prize versus punishment.
Yeah, and in their videos, they're on the USDA or HHS on YouTube. They put videos out, and one of them showed the conditioning of a rat, and every time it turned its head to the right, it got the euphoric sensation in its brain. Well, obviously, this rat every time would turn the proper way, not wanting the euphoric feeling, not wanting the pain. But I think the euphoric feeling is what we need to focus on, because we hear people come on and talk about the mark of the beast and how it could change your DNA, how it can change the way we are as human beings. And the Bible is clear that people who take the mark of the beast cannot be redeemed after doing so.
That's correct.
Now, whether this RFID chip and electronic health record is the mark of the beast, I have always thought, yes, it's safe to be cautious about this. But when they use language, you know, such as You can either become a part of this collective, or you must be an individual on your own, or you can be part of the full benefits of available health care and government services.
You're either in the system or out of it.
And major trait of the Mark of the Beast.
Yep.
And also, what's not a trait of the Mark of the Beast, but what is very concerning, is the opportunity to achieve total control over a person's health and behavior through the setting of the technology. And the strategic plan says, existing and emerging technologies provide a path to make information and resources for health and healthcare management universal, integrated, equitable, accessible to all, and personally relevant. And it goes on to say, only 1 in 8 Americans track a health metric like blood pressure or weight using some form of electronic technologies. The federal government seeks to expand the ability of individuals to contribute electronic health information that is personally relevant and usable in some form of electronic technology. The government seeks to expand the individuals to contribute electronic health information that is personally relevant and usable to care providers so that they can use it effectively in health planning. The goal of promoting electronic technology to track health in daily life is being brought to reality through the meaningful use rules. Now, meaningful use is mandatory for all in 2018. That's the law. It's in the Federal Register. Stage 3 meaningful use, mandatory 2018. Voluntary 2015 through 2017 with incentives. Now, they say that this trend will only be pushed further by new standards for the exchange of health care data and economic value. The data stored in the cloud by an app developer and automatically integrated into electronic health records will be just a website or click away. There are numerous market players that may enter with products that can access any electronic health record system. Healthcare is always and has been about analyzing information. And it goes on from there. This is where it gets into the economic aspects. Tools used to assist in collect and analyzing information are evolving exponentially. The slowdown of Moore's Law notwithstanding, one potential tool being developed to assist providers is known as the Learning Health System. The idea of the LHS has arisen from several sources, the Institute of Medicine's Roundtable on Values and Science-Driven Healthcare and the Learning Health Community. Its vision is one physician would be able to tell their sick patient, I can make a treatment recommendation informed not only by the latest clinical trials, but also by the real-world health experiences over time of every patient like you who has this illness. And I can turn and I can tell you with a specified range of confidence which treatment has the greatest chance of success. But if successfully developed and implemented, this LHS could collect data from every major provider of healthcare around the world, as well as every significant clinical research study, and analyze the data based on a particular patient's demographics, genetics, history, symptoms, and provide to the physician the most relevant and available treatment options, which are likely for success. Now, they call this Precision Medicine Initiative, or Personalized Healthcare. It has a long-term goal of sharing genetic data, biological samples, diet, lifestyle information, and economic information, all linked to the electronic health records if you choose.
But you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what they're talking about is DNA manipulation and ultimately eugenics.
Do you smoke? Where do you work?
Yeah. You punish.
Are you stressed?
Ultimately, it, yeah.
Do you need to work out more?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want medicine next month? Because we're not going to give you your medicine if you do not lose some weight.
Well, and we're going to be pushing into such a corner. If you're part of the system, that's going to be the punishment and prize system. If you're not part of the system, it's gone completely. And this is addressed, as a matter of fact, on page 151 of The Economist, as depicted on the cover of the magazine by the jar of brains and on 151. And there, the stomach, noses, lips, and such. The year of the organoid.
The year of the unicorn, too.
Yeah, well, that's something different. But
well, this is the same. It's a health information technology.
Well,
they say
that's
that,
true. Yeah.
A venture capitalist coined the term unicorn to describe a private technology company valued at $1 billion that used to be unusual in spotting a mythical creature, but no longer now. There are 141 unicorns as the technology industry has become a booming for profit, the next big thing, the next Silicon Valley. It has its new acronym. And it says this might be the best time for any in history to buy, like since the time of the ancient Egyptians, says Stuart Butterfield, the boss of Slack, a $2.8 billion software.
There's so much in there. That's right. Yeah. I mean, unicorn, you have to understand what that is. Egyptian technology. See, and I love, because I got an email during the show. You know, I love being inside these people's heads, because the subject line is Nazi, 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 and of course Adolf Hitler, right? As if we can't look at the IP address, you know? Oh dear God, week four, you're psycho Nazi gobbledygook. Your listeners are so tired of it. What about Jesus talk? Well, you know what? Okay. You intellectual moron here. You gotta understand, this is discussion of the end times. This is the time that Jesus was preaching and talking about, considering the revelations, the predictions, the prophetic utterances by Jesus in the Bible. So, you know. Anyway,
there's a lot more stories in here that deal with this.
It does. There are.
On. The unicorn one is an interesting one, where they say they skirt around the mandatory issue because they only deal with up to 2017 in cash returns. But if you go to the Super Bowl at 50 and beyond, in the section Tomorrow the World,
yep,
it goes on to say that through the development of technology and meteorites, we can share the NFL. This is Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, talking about internationalizing the sport and broadcasting it to the world. And he compares it to the American health system, which is going to bring a global stage with crucial responsibility. We must earn the respect of the public every day by living up to our core values and playing on the field. And this is what he equates. Playing on the field is the same as getting involved in the game, making information more accessible and safer. And it goes on to say, a technology-driven, hyper-connected mobile world stage cannot be any other way.
Well,
after a half century of incredible growth,
right?
After it will be launched, this is our game. The next 50 years, when our game will evolve and thrive.
Well, let's pull back here. And what are we seeing here that's going to break away in 2016? I talked about this on the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges yesterday and last night. And again, a lot of this is coming from my analysis, our analysis, total comparative analysis of The Economist magazine. The world in 2016, the cover, not just the front cover, but the cover extends to the other half on page 15. And then, of course, the calendar for 2016, which covers pages 36 and 37. And of course, you can see the cover if you're looking, or you can see the second half of the cover actually is now displayed on the monitor if you're watching this. And folks, what's going on here is this, and here's what I'm looking at, and I'm going to toss it back to you, Joe. But here's what I'm looking at. There's areas that we have to be very concerned with, and I can see this playing out. The first and foremost right now that's playing out right before our very eyes is the guy in the Oval Office, the man whose middle name is Hussein, okay, who was elected 7 years after the attack on America, ostensibly by Arabs, by Muslims. The man who will never utter the phrase Islamic terrorism, the man who believes the call to prayer is the most beautiful sound he heard, the man who has brought Muslim Brotherhood inside the White House, who has brought in Trojan horses via the refugee program into the United States, the man who is setting up all white America, all Americans, even black America, I don't mean to say just white America, but all Americans, as targets for Islamic terrorists, Muslim terrorists. They're here and they're among us. Now, he's also making the divide between white and black, Caucasian and African American. Choose your words, whatever. But what is taking place right now is Obama is fixing to institute executive actions or employ executive actions on gun control consistent, he says, with the Second Amendment. He made this address today during a public announcement from the Oval Office, and he says, I'm confident, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm confident that the recommendations that are being made by my team here are ones that are entirely consistent with the Second Amendment and people's lawful rights to bear arms. Now, that is such a twisted statement, because when you look at what's taking place and throwing into this establishing a universal background check, you've got to understand this is all about making sure this, or creating this gun registry, so that the federal government, the state governments, know who you are, what guns you have, and know you're not going to get away with, you know, oh, I lost them in a boating accident. It ain't going to happen. You don't think that, you know, I laugh and cry at the same time when I read statements like that from these so-called well-informed people. Folks, you're not going to get away from this. You're not going to get away from this. We are going to be forced, as Stuart Rhodes said, we are going to be forced into a moment where, hey, if you're itching for a fight, don't worry. It's going to come to you soon enough. These anti-gun people, they must disarm us, because a disarmed population is a compliant population. That is the immediate goal, and I'm sounding the alarm. I'm stomping on the desk. I'm yelling out the window. I'm ringing the bell. I'm pulling the fire alarm. I'm saying to you, watch what happens. And if there is no pushback from the Congress, which there will not be, then we have a major problem on our hands. And I can guarantee you that everyone listening to this program, and even those who aren't listening to this program, the veterans, the patriots, the constitutionalists, the people who have said, I am against abortion, I am against homosexuality, I am pro-family, you will be put on a list, and that list will be used to disarm you. And if you choose not to be disarmed, then you will be de-armed. How's that? And the arms will, you know, it's coming to you. It is coming to you, and it's going to start in the Northeast and go westward, young man. Westward. Oh. All right.
You know, we got a bumper sticker in the mail that said it was a pro-abortion playing off a gun issue, saying, would it make you angry if we used guns? Something along those lines.
Well, and this is the point. Right. This is the absolute most threatening part of what's taking place right now. People think, oh, this is Obama's last year. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It might be.
The gun laws are not to make society safer for the average person.
No.
Or to protect life. If it was, then we wouldn't have the mass abortions, and we wouldn't have the things that we see in our society, the dysfunction, the lack of morality, lack of values, of just goodness in general. It's not even about God or righteousness. It's just about, you know, what is bad is now being promoted as being good. It's a complete reversal of how our society has lived from, you know,
correct,
this point in previous years all the way back until the beginning of man, even the fall of man.
But when we talk about these issues, we have to be as intellectually minded. We have to be spiritually in tune, but intellectually, we have to pay attention intellectually as well, because we have to understand that there is this counterinsurgency taking place. There is this division within the United States taking place. There is a division within the church. There is a division within your neighborhood. There is a division within your government, local. There is a division within you name the institution, a divisiveness. The spirit of divisiveness and divisiveness itself is coming. It is here, and it's ripping people apart, and it's got to stop. Because we have to focus not on our own little issues, but we have to focus on the larger enemy at hand. And people better understand, because if you don't understand right now what's taking place, if you don't understand the Tavistock agenda, if you don't understand the psychological warfare that is being waged every day against you, you are not going to understand the danger that you face and that you are in right now. because right now they are attempting the Ries Le Guin. I mentioned the author Le Guin from Nazi Germany. Yes, I said Nazi, and I'm glad I'm in your head. Okay? I'm glad I'm in your head. I mentioned that. You see, the Ries Le Guin Tavistockian model is attempting to break down the existing democratic constitutional institutions, the military, and I talked about this last night on Dave Hodges. The military and police forces will be reorganized for civil action, folks. You see, it's not martial law, but civil action. It's kind of like the same thing, but it's under the different martial laws under the military. Obama ain't going to allow that. It's going to be under DHS, the police.
And think about this. The timing of the rollout of, there's two agendas here. You have the physical agenda, and then you have the spiritual agenda.
That's right.
The rollout of the, we'll just call it the chip, for patient identification, health information, and economic factors. If it is the mark of the beast, it would have to be rolled out simultaneously with the coming of the Antichrist and his power.
I'm not so sure we should be dogmatic about the timing of that.
Okay.
I mean, I suspect you would be
from
correct.
From what I understand.
But I don't know. I mean, could one precede the other? I don't know.
Well, I'm just going by Revelation when it deals with the issue specifically. And it talks about how the, in Revelation 13, and I saw, and it gets into the beast. And I saw as if one of its heads were wounded, the death and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast and worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? That's 13:4. Then it goes on to state that power is given, the two witnesses gain power is given 42 months, and let me see, am I in the right place here? No. And
okay,
I have a
well,
computer, sorry. I have my laptop here.
Looks like a bullet hole in there.
Yeah, I shut my computer last night and opened it up today, and the screen is half broken.
Looks like somebody took, looks like a bullet hole in the screen.
It's the weirdest thing. No spilling, no, nobody hit it, nobody threw it. It sat where it was all night, and the screen's changed. So,
yeah.
It's warranty on here. So.
Well, Joe, I mean, go ahead and
Revelation
finish
Revelation 13.
I mean,
so the beast comes on to the scene and has the head wound. And after that, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? That's 13:4 in Revelation.
Right.
Which reminds me of Daniel, chapter 8. We talked about this last week where Daniel's describing the end times, and he says, right, through peace he will destroy many. And I was thinking, we were thinking about that last week. What, how does that work?
And it's is a that false the, peace.
Is that the
ultimately
global security that they talk about when dealing with this health technology that they want to implement? And Revelation goes on to say this. And he that exercised all the power of the first beast before him causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders in heaven, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he laid power... He had power and gave life unto the image of the beast, that image of the beast should both speak, and caused as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And you asked Stan last week, is it 666?
Or 666.
I think Stan made a good point. Is there a difference?
Well, the way it's written, I mean, if we one would take it literally, I suspect there would be. It's written as 666, but then, again, my interpretation could be wrong. But
you
pointed
that out.
When we talk about this...
That's something I never caught in all... I mean, I've read this chapter hundreds of times in the last 2 years.
It's just something to think about. But see, you know, we can't, a lot of times, I mean, what we're talking about is intellectual fodder. And I'm glad you brought this up because...
Well, no,
because
it's important. It is,
but when people get dogmatic about a certain issue, and I'm not saying Stan did or we did, but when people get really dogmatic and discourage intellectual discourse, it just puts a damper on things, I think, to me anyway. But theological purity is an issue. But speaking of theological purity, we asked Eric to grab a hold of a video that Coach Dave did. Folks, have you seen this?
I haven't.
Okay. You're in for a treat. You don't have to see it. You can hear it. If you're listening to this, last week, Coach Dave, it's posted on Hear the Watchman, the conference, Hear the Watchman, and he did a great, a 1 minute segment. And it's, again, I think he's driving or something. You don't have to see it, but listen to what he says. Because when we talk about these issues, there's sometimes, and we've talked about divisiveness today a little bit, but he talks about the theological purity. And I thought this would be a good time, it's a good segue, to go ahead and play it, the audio and video, Eric, at the ready.
Well, good morning, friends. Coach Dave at the clinic this morning. Hey, I want to thank all of you who donated to our project to take the bread down to Dallas. Still need a little help if you can find it in your heart to do that. PTSalt.com. PTSalt.com. You can donate there. One thing that popped up again, as always happens, is boy, just this theological purity. Is there anything that's destroying the move of Christ in America any more than theological purity? The Baptists don't want to work with the Methodists, the Methodists don't want to work with the Pentecostals, and the Pentecostals don't want to work with the Catholics. And unfortunately, you know, there's like 36,000 denominations. And I can't tell you the number of things that I believe today that I didn't believe 5 years ago or 2 years ago. With the things that I used to believe that I don't believe anymore. Why can't we give each other a little bit of slack here in Christianity? One body, many members, we don't all have to agree on everything, but certainly we can come to some type of agreement on expanding the gospel of the kingdom of God. Leave your religion at the door, and let's begin to associate more with those of us who claim to be brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless you, man. We can get this thing done. Where there is unity, God will command the blessing. God bless you.
Boy, Coach Dave, thank you. And see, when we talk about this kind of stuff, we talk about the mark of the beast. We talk about all these different subjects, and everyone's got to jump on and say, "Ah, this is the way it's got to be." And boy, doesn't religion? And this, the necessity of theological purity, as Coach Dave referenced, doesn't that get in the way, and doesn't that damper, you know, us? Because the real enemy, folks, is the fascist dictatorship which is taking place. The real enemy is Satan, obviously, is the Luciferian elite, that is, has declared war on God. And if we allow those specific stumbling blocks that get in the way, I mean, Coach Dave did a beautiful job of that.
See, the declaring of war on God isn't what bothers me, because these people have the agenda which was at the beginning, the end time government system, the one world government system, which is spiritual also, will be what was at the beginning at the Tower of Babel. Where
right.
They had one mind.
But in order to wage a fight against, at least a good fight against what's coming into, well, what's here, we've got to be unified under the salvation, under the body of Christ. Okay?
Absolutely.
And everything else, come on! Let's wage the fight that we have been tasked to wage. And that's what Dave Dobmeier's saying. I just got a lot of inspiration from that. And here he is on a way to an abortion clinic to make a difference, to play his position. We all have positions to play. Let's play them. And leave the religion out of it. And you have to understand what he's saying, of course. You know, what do you say? 36,000 denominations? I mean, I don't know if that's an exaggeration or if that's real. It just seems like a whole bunch of stuff. But anyway, what he's saying is, look, we got a war to fight. This is this is displaying, in part, the agenda for 2016. We got Obama about ready to sign papers that are going to make you a felon because you don't agree with the policy. We have a fascist dictatorship being pushed down our throats. They are attempting to eliminate through subversion, through assassination, through military oppression,
and these
through
are covert.
Through spontaneous uprisings that have been planned. Yes, I know it's an oxymoron of sorts. Think of it this way: spontaneous uprisings that have been planned by the fascist dictators in this country. And meanwhile, all people want to do is just yip about the color of the car that they're going to drive to the battle. Okay, come on, man. Look, we have to focus. If we are to fight against the Tavistockian, and I talked about this last night, the Tavistockian rules agenda, then we have to keep our eyes on the enemy. I wrote an article this weekend. It's on the website. Let's look at the bigger picture, because if we don't keep our eyes on the bigger picture, if we don't understand where to bring the fight, and if we start tearing each other down, and I say that because there's a lot of divisiveness right now going on, and you know, who does that benefit? It benefits Satan. It benefits the Luciferian elite. It benefits the people who we're fighting against. That aside, look at the bigger picture. Look at what we're trying to fight here. Okay, and
there's no room for
petty difference
in a
battle
for survival.
Right. So we have to take all of this together and agree that the bottom line here is our salvation and where we're going to spend eternity. I mean, that's a real thing, isn't it?
So that's the only.
That's right. So everything else we can just put aside. Now, back to what, you know, the world in 2016 as we see it. And I was talking to Dave yesterday. The ISIS people, the people in this country, the Muslims in this country, and the people who are facilitating the Muslims in this country, they are going to, in based on my view, they are going to launch a multiple city, multiple location offensive in this country concurrent with calls for gun restrictions, gun control. This is all going to play and throw in what's going on in Oregon. Throw that in there because you might as well, because let's exploit the division that occurs, that's taking place up there as well. And let's take, you know, that's the government. They're asserting local community control. They're asserting the fascist counterinsurgency. There's a tactic of fascist counterinsurgency is to fragment the population of a group of people, to narrow the scale of groups by separations, whether it's doctrinal separations within the church, or separations by race, or separations by dollar amount. This is the Tavistock model of divide and conquer, which is taking place, and you can see it all across the country, and including but not limited to the Pacific Northwest, the Oregon thing. You can see it everywhere. You can see it in the churches. You can see it in the neighborhoods. You can see it in the families, and you know what I'm talking about, your families. You can see it. I guarantee you, you can feel it, and you can see it because your brother-in-law, your sister, your mother, your father, who call you crazy when you talk about conspiracies or when you talk about these things, are saying, ah, you're just full of it. You know, you can see the division, and it's that division, as we predict, is going to get worse in 2016. I'll shut up now. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and the, you know, as you said, the division is something that, the division and hostility amongst believers and fellow believers are supposed to be brothers. Scripture is very clear about this, especially the New Testament. You know, it talks about the love, but be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast to the faithful word that hath been taught, that he may be able to stand by sound doctrine, both to extort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And, you know, this is the book of Titus chapter 1, but all throughout the New Testament we see the apostles and disciples talk about a brotherhood, not and out of the love for your neighbor, but most importantly, for obedience to the Lord and pleasing Him. Not only that, we are supposed to, you know, give our own lives to save another person's life, even if they're a stranger to us. It says anybody who, you know, seeks to save their life will lose it, and anybody who loses their life for another will certainly gain it. And it doesn't make any mention of if you're the same skin color, if you have the same belief system, if you, you know, it makes no distinction on difference. We are supposed to love strangers like we love our family. And if we can't even get along as a family, then what chance do we have? Even the Lord said, a house divided against itself shall not stand, will not stand.
That's right.
And that's right. What chance do we have when, you know, we know where this is going to end up, and we're going to need each other just to try to maintain and stand and survive during these times where many won't survive. And
yeah.
How can we, I mean, just imagine tomorrow everything went dark, there was an EMP and society went into chaos. How important would that doctrinal opinion be in your mind at that point versus when everything's comfortable?
Well, it's like comfortable, what Coach Davis said, yeah. You know,
we need to think about these situations and possible, you know, we talked about the electronic health records being mandatory in 2018. When you have to go live in the wilderness, what's going to be important? I would start thinking about that now.
And that's kind of our first program of 2016. That's the message. Let's get it together. Let's focus on what's really important. Let's understand that we all have our roles to play, that we all have certain commonalities. The one big commonality is recognizing what our salvation is, how we obtain our salvation, how we were given our salvation. I know I'm going to get emails, oh, you said that wrong. Well, you know what I mean, okay? Look at the bigger picture here. Look at our enemies, our really true enemies, which are Luciferian elite. Look at how they are playing us like a fiddle, like a finely tuned piano. They're playing us, and we need to recognize this. And I want to thank Karen A. Karen A. writes in, I find it interesting, Justin Trudeau is on this cover, while last year's cover did not include Stephen Harper. Interesting observation. And folks, what I'd urge you to do, because I am putting together research on this, Joe is as well, I'd urge you to take a look at the cover of The Economist for the World in 2016, take a look at the calendar, and whatever you might happen to see or decide or, you know, figure, maybe you have something you want to add
to
this. Write
a book on that.
Well, yeah, but just send us an email, studio@hagmanandhagman.com, studio@hagmanandhagman.com, studio@hagmanandhagman.com. That's where it's at. And I just want to say that really what we're seeing, again, and we need the first program of 2016 is so important because, and we didn't even get to announce what changes we were going to be making. I guess we'll leave that maybe to another day. But folks, what we're attempting to do is we are attempting to really make a big difference. And you know, we're trying to grow an alliance with other talk shows in terms of getting the truth out there. You know, Rick Wiles does a fabulous job. InfoWars does a fabulous job. J.B. Wells, great job in providing a lot of good information. So what we need to do is we need to pretend, well, I don't even think it's a pretend thing. We need to recognize the fact that we are out of time. This is the fourth quarter of Super Bowl L. They're not going to call it L, Super Bowl 50. This is the fourth quarter. This really is the fourth down, 10 yards to go, maybe 20, I don't know. But we're at the end of the end of the end. and we're getting so close. We have to recognize, we have to keep our eye on the play, on the ball player positions. Let's go forward. But, you know, the biggest thing here, and I'm not talking just to hear myself talk, but the biggest thing here is to recognize that we all are important. We are important. And I got an email over the weekend, over the holiday, and more appropriately, you know, from someone who's alone. And we had talked about, I think there was an email from Nancy, I believe it was, from a nursing mm-hmm. home. Okay. Alone, you know, just alone. And everyone around me thinks I'm crazy. What possible use can I be? I guarantee you, you will touch someone, you will say something. I mean, we have to pray for what our positions are. We really do. We have to be sober and approach our positions with sobriety. I do believe that you will be. In fact, the email was in response to Nancy, who said just by hearing what her, you know, her email, just by me reading the email and hearing it, this person was touched. And see, we don't know what our actions will do. We don't know how many people we're going to touch by a single word, a phrase, a prayer. We don't know. But we need to really approach everything with a certain sobriety. And I just want to mention, too, that, you know, as we go through the year, and as we go through this week and next week and the month and as winter turns into spring, you know, we are going to see some things, I believe, that are going to be horrible. Killings, mass killings, bloodshed. And, you know, we better be girded up spiritually, mentally, physically, and be prepared. Because if what we see in the calendar of the Economist is any indication, if that symbolism is any indication, well, we need to bring God back in our lives, and we need to reassess what we're doing, period. We need to reassess our own positions, and we need to think a little bit clearer and understand who our real enemy is. We need to lose our, I don't know, we need to lose our egos, and we need to take a breath and understand there's much more to all the situations you see out there. Whether it's the Oregon ranch, or whether it doesn't matter what it is, I guarantee you, there's a lot you don't know. A lot you don't know.
Just in a few articles I read here, this two on page 112, play mystic for me. It gets into the zodiac chart, the astrological calendars, and the meaning behind the alleged meaning. Anyway, they say that this time that we're entering into is a time of financial knockdown and rebuild over a short-term sounding crisis.
Wait a second. I'm going to stop you right there, okay? Let's stop everything. Apparently, we misquoted Scripture. You did, because I didn't quote Scripture.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's stop everything right now, because I'll be doggone. We're not going to misquote Scripture.
What is that?
Mark 8:35. Now, read it carefully, okay? Thank you very much, but read it carefully, because we don't, you know, it's certainly, because we'll get 50 emails saying,
no,
you
not.
Heathens, you guys are spreading false doctrine. We'll read it carefully.
Okay, this deals with what I said about dying for another's sake or saving your own life. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel the same shall save it. And I'm sure that's different.
All right,
Matthew.
Let's not interpret it. That's quoted correctly. We've fixed our error. So you can save your 5,500 emails. Okay? And if you think I've got an attitude, I really do.
Yeah, you kind of do.
I do. Because
But that's an everyday occurrence, so.
But thank you for making sure that we don't stumble in our words. Heaven forbid that happens. All right. All right. The other news, you know, there's so much news that's taking place right now. Again, folks, watch. Please watch what's taking place with the gun control.
And tomorrow, 11:40.
Yes.
In the East Wing is what is said to be when the president will come and address the gun issue.
Publicly. I think the smart people at 10:40 will be out buying their weapons and parts to the, you know.
You know, the number 44, Daily Crow said, watch him come on at 11:44. So, I don't know why that's important, but something to keep your eye on. And you know he's never on time.
No, of course not. And that speaks of poor disrespect. It really does. But watch, again, watch for what's going to take place with respect to that and the blowback from that. Watch what's taking place with the armed protesters in Oregon. Watch
as
well.
Yeah, that is a very important one.
The exploitation, and see, this is the division I'm talking about. You've got the vandals toppling graves, defacing tombstones at historic Confederate cemetery. You know, what is taking place is this divisiveness using, exploiting through the Tavistock Institute. They're creating strife where none was before.
The Confederate flag issue you just mentioned, they wanted to go up and dig up in, was in Kentucky, dig up old Confederate generals and bury them in other states.
Yeah.
Just craziness when you think about it.
It's you know what, Joe? I mean, it's horrible because, again, think about it this way. 2 weeks after 9/11, there was no arguments. Or a month after 9/11, it doesn't really matter. A decade ago, there was no strife over the Confederacy, the Confederate flag. There was no strife over.
That's true.
What was the condition of the country?
I mean, it's the pros and cons again. Because do we really need a mass casualty event to unite us?
I was afraid we were going there for a second.
Or should that be the norm, you would think? Upside down world.
Then go back into the mid 90s or the 1980s. Was there any strife over the Confederate flag issue? Was there any strife? What about the state of race relations back 20 years ago? Is it worse or better today? Okay.
Worse from what I read.
Okay, so the divisiveness that is being injected, the exploitation of race relations, of differences between the haves and the have-nots, or between the differences all across the board are being exploited for the devil's gain. And behind it all, who's behind it all? It's behind the people in power. It's Obama and the people like him. And Bush, who greased the skids for Obama. And Clinton, who greased the skids for Bush. And the 535 non-workers in D.C.
Or the 8 super workers.
Right. I mean, yeah. So what we're seeing here, in my view, is exactly we're on schedule, based on the agenda of the globalists. We're on schedule in 2016, the world in 2016. The agenda is this, and we're going to be getting more into this as days go on, because we could write 50 reports on this.
Oh, yeah.
On this alone.
The humanoid condition.
Yeah, yeah.
Prepare yourself for the next big thing, they say. It says it's something that could help. At the same time, it's a terrifying thought. They say that they will be able to use technology to fix a number of problems, and this one might interest you. At the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology, researchers have created the world's first electronic memory cell. The bionic brain will soon be here, and who wouldn't want a boost, something to amp up your memory, and someday pass it on to your children? And how about the wireless brain implant, the size of a grain of rice, which Stanford researchers say can obliterate a bad mood? Imagine being able to sign up for a jolt of optimism.
You're going to force me to take that, aren't you?
What happens when the multi-billion-dollar pharmacy industry that manufactures serotonin reuptake inhibitor drugs, Lexapro, Zoloft, etc., gone as a fast mood swing? Here's why the fear factor kicks in. We no longer merely dealing with mechanized body parts. We're re-engineering our minds, our spirit, and our souls. Our species is racing from robot knees to robot brain, a brain smarter and more able than the kind you were born with, one that doesn't have to learn but simply uploads knowledge in a millisecond. It's not just we humans.
Think about this. You send our young men and women over to Iraq, Afghanistan, foreign lands. They get their limbs blown off. They come back with prosthetic robotic arms, legs, hands. It's a good thing.
Okay.
Accept it. And it is a good thing because technology can be used for good. But then the acceptance widens into, oh, let's throw a grain of rice into your head just so you don't have a bad mood and flip out and happen to, say the F word or something. I don't know. But see, there it is, right there.
They go on to say, a transformation of our species awaits. In Swiss labs, robot developed both altruism and deceitfulness of their own. So back to my prediction, there's a huge merge morph ahead. Humans enhanced by technology, robots infused with humanity, breeding with each other, their DNA, our DNA, new DNA. A transformation of our species awaits. In 2016 is when the average human slowly, speedily awakens to the new dawn of robo-humanity.
Robo-humanity.
Yep. And then the next article is density and destination. The public will realize the demographic necessity of new illegal immigrants. Or immigrants, it says. The next article, Mothering Nature.
Wait a second, I just want to give Nancy a hug. Nancy D., God bless you. Geez, some people really need to get a grip. They don't have a clue what's really important. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest, meaning some of the responses we get. You know, that's so true. Thank you, Nancy. If you were here, I'd give you a hug or a handshake or high five. I don't know. Fist bump.
Just about every article in this magazine deals with the technological advancement of humans and
oh, yeah, it's loaded. This is loaded. See, and by the way, folks, and I was gonna pull this up, and but I knew that we were gonna have time for this. The world in 2016, an Economist Films production. Watch now at films.economist.com. It's interesting. I did watch it, and I have gone through every bit of this. Okay, every bit of this magazine, and I'm gonna tell you right now, when you overlay this as a template into the fascist dictatorship that's coming to this country, gotta tell you,
it's here.
Gotta tell you, it's already here. You're already a part of it, and now we have to fight our way out of it. We gotta fight our way out of it.
And you'll know,
gotta fight our way out of it
when it goes live or hot or overt.
It's already going live.
People who are outspoken for truth or against the ideology of the government start disappearing in mass, whether being sent to camps or, as Brzezinski says, liquidated.
Yeah.
Because no resistance is allowed to live on in the true totalitarian system. And I imagine that's when the technological controls will be in place, which, as he said in his book, has never been accomplished, not even in Hitler's Germany, which was the closest to a...
Oh, you said Hitler.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
History includes these examples. Hitler, Russia, Lenin's Russia, Mao's China, all the way back to Nimrod. Like I said, he covered his bases, but all have the same basic operating system. You know, silence your opposition and force people into your killing or working camps.
Let me sign off with this real quick. The Christian church has suffered throughout the centuries, and now it appears as if it's our turn. Like the early apostles, we find that our commitment to share the gospel will run counter to the laws of the land. We must ask ourselves, at what point do we become lawbreakers rather than betray our faith? At what price are we willing to take the cross into the world and identify with our Savior? how do we both love the people of the world yet oppose the agenda of those who will crush the gospel? Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, God bless. Stay safe, Joe.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.